It's here.
Hello?
Have you checked the children?
They're all pods, all of them.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid!
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Here's Gingy.
Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. Gentlemen, I am pain.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. The blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
You think that when you die, you go to heaven. You come to us.
If he can't take a joke, he stinks.
There's no more room in hell. The dead will walk here.
Greetings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to a brand new Vinegar Syndrome edition of Flesh Wound Horror. I am Daniel Shine, joined as always by Todd Loya. Todd, how goes your day, sir?
So far, so good. It's chilling. I don't really have an answer yet.
Cool. One day it's going to be something epic, Todd. I'm just going to ask you, and it's like, you know, a bunch of naked girls running around behind you, a lot of cool, you know, just big wild party. It'll happen, Todd.
I'm gonna postpone the show because I'm having too much fun. So if you see we don't have a show, that's why I blew Dan off.
There you go. Well, we wouldn't blow off a Vinegar Syndrome show. Maybe something else, but Vinegar Syndrome's kind of like my favorite.
Yeah, and I don't like my choice of words.
This will be like the one show your wife listens to. You're going to do well.
Oh, no. See, you didn't catch it. I'm sure if Pugs is listening, he caught what I said, and I regret it. Thankfully, Dan doesn't know how to pull sound cues, so we'll just see. He doesn't even know. He's oblivious. Yes, we're pugless tonight, but we still got some good stuff to talk about.
We do indeed. We'll get right into it. I've got my happy pills from the accident, so I'm feeling okay-ish. I'm in pain, but okay-ish. So we'll get right into it. So this one I'm really looking forward to talking about, and that is the 1980 film from director Mario Azzopardi. Todd, I'm going to trigger you in a bit, but I'll get into the synopsis first. Todd knows exactly what it is. all right. So Stephen Lessie makes his living as a horror writer who has learned that the bloodier the story, the bigger the market. But Stephen has also hit a personal crisis wherein he yearns for artistic recognition and an escape from the brutality he conjures up to earn a living. All the while, his horrifying and murderous fantasies begin to blend into his day-to-day life, mumbling him to his crumbling marriage until a shocking tragedy occurs from which he has no escape. One of the true hidden gems of Canadian horror cinema, Mario Azzopardi's Deadline is an unflinchingly grim, twisted, and cynically comedic study of a man's slow descent into madness, punctuated by expertly rendered and creatively staged gory deaths. Featuring elegant and colorful cinematography by Manfred Guth, tightly paced editing, and even a surprise musical sequence featuring acclaimed new wave band Rough Trade, Vinegar Syndrome proudly brings this gruesome masterpiece to Blu-ray for the first time, newly restored from 35mm Volt Elements. I could remember the book to reference it, but it was on Canadian Horror, I believe. So this is one that I remember reading about. I was very excited to see it. I wasn't too sure if I saw this one, and I'm definitely sure I must not have back in the day because it just didn't, frankly, it's memorable, and it didn't quite ring a bell for me when I started it. But Todd, I'm going to tag you in first. What did you think of Deadline?
I think you should go first on this one, Dan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. So, Deadline. So the main character, obviously mirrored after Stephen King. Of course, this was a very, very hot time for Stephen King. I really dug this. I thought this one was quite disturbing. Some really good deaths. We even get an OG Black Phillip that shows up early on. Stephen Young, who plays our lead, I thought did a very good job. This one is surprisingly twisted. I don't know how I missed this one back in the day, especially the director is pretty well known. A lot of TV work, Stargate, SG-1. But somehow, some way, I just never actually saw it. There are some pretty disturbing bits here with the some murderous children, particularly the scene where a lady's lit on fire, these kids laughing. I mean, it's very, it has a very creepy vibe to it, a very kind of dreamlike vibe. And it's a surprisingly like nasty little movie. I suppose there is some humor. I kind of found that interesting to put that in the synopsis, but I don't know. I really dug this. It's one of those films that you've seen some similar storylines to this. Again, it felt at times almost like it could have been a Stephen King film, with the, you know, lead character being an author and all. And I dug it. I think this one is actually a gem. Todd, I'm afraid to ask you though, because I sense we might disagree.
Well, I think you're giving it a little too much credit, saying it could have been a Stephen King film. Anyway, you liked it a lot better than me. I think it was more the nightmarish thing. It kind of felt like a bunch of different things stitched together in that, like, which kind of lost me a little bit. I didn't hate it, but I you're giving it, you know, you're in love. I'm just like, that was a one night stand for me.
I am sucking the Canadian teat on this one. Yes, so, I did like it.
I was underwhelmed. I had heard about this one also, and it's kind of like one of those legends ones, or, you know, that's, mm-hmm. But it missed the mark for me. But I get why other people are going to dig this one. It just didn't. You know, some people talk about the first Phantasm time they saw and it being a little too dreamlike. I don't know if I'm having something like that with this one, but it just wasn't connecting for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, there is a lot of, I mean, because you have the, of course, the, he's working on a movie adaptation of his book and everything, which also, again, kind of feels very Stephen King esque. And but I thought some of the, again, just the destruction of the family and everything was very effective. I thought the acting was really effective. The lead, I thought, worked for me quite well. This director's great. Like I said, he's done all sorts of stuff. Yeah, it had a little bit of everything. You could be right. Maybe that the Phantasm comparison for you is something that kind of, you know, makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. This one just worked for me. It had a little bit of everything. You know, a little bit of sleaze, a little bit of, you know, not so much like nudity or anything, but it was just a very, you know, grimy flick at times, while being very, you know, beautifully made. And it's fucked up. This one's fucked up. I was a little surprised how fucked up this movie was. I was expecting something a little more, conventional, I guess. And I got something a little more on the nasty side. I actually do. I think this is a Canadian horror gem. I highly recommend this one. I don't know, maybe worth a rewatch at some point. But we'll see. But anyways.
So what are you giving it?
I am giving the movie a 4. I really liked it.
See, I'm a 3. It's above average, but I for this one, I feel like there's room to grow if I do give it another viewing. So we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. And real quick on the extras front, we have a 12-minute feature producing something horrific with an interview with Henry Less, the producer. This one has a lot of good background on the production, talks about taking it to Cannes in 1981, and kind of explains the movie didn't really blow up like they hoped, hence probably me missing it back in the day. Very informative. There's also a 14-minute Embracing the Horror, an interview with cinematographer Manfred Guthrie, which runs 14 minutes, and talks a little bit about some of his earlier work, his first film, The Pit, which I believe is on Blu-ray from Kino, and talks about separating sort of the looks in this film with certain things that were maybe in the character's imagination versus reality. And that was also a very good feature. And yeah, I highly recommend this one as well as the whole package.
Nice.
So, moving on.
Oh, what do you, what? You looked lost. I thought you were going to run out of the room.
What?
I'm just messing with you, Dan. It's all right.
Oh, you're confusing me. You're making me feel like I'm in the goddamn movie, Todd.
It's not hard.
My cats behind me are trying to eat a bag, so that might have been. Let's see. Since Todd called it out. Cat, down, down, down. I have two kittens that don't like to listen.
See, one, I didn't call out anything that Dan's bringing attention to, so let's just keep going.
Yeah. Well, unless they get into the bag, then I'll, yeah. my bad. All right, Olivia. Goddamn pussies. Olivia is a 1981 film from director Julie Lumel. And when she was a child, Olivia witnessed the horrifying and violent murder of her prostitute mother at the hands of an angry John. Now an adult, she's married to an abusive and controlling factory worker. That is, until her mother appears to her and demands that Olivia avenge her death by seducing and then slaying men. While disposing of a body near London Bridge, Olivia has a chance meeting with a friendly American named Mike, who reveals that he's visiting England in order to dismantle and move the bridge to Arizona, setting off a series of increasingly strange events and a lot more bloodshed. Perhaps the most offbeat film in the fascinating career of German actor turned exploitation auteur Julie Lumel, Olivia, also known as Prozzy and Double Jeopardy, finds a distinctive blend of slash erotic thriller and straightforward sleaze seasoned with the touches of semi-surrealism. Atmospherically photographed and featuring a moody score by Joel Goldsmith, Vinegar Syndrome brings this nearly unclassifiable piece of early 80s genre weirdness to Blu-ray, newly restored in 4K from its original 35mm camera negative, and presented in its completely uncensored version for the first time on disc.
I wanted to just real quick before Dan says anything, since we didn't bring it up on the last one, Transfer was beautiful of the actual disc. Dan always blows by me on that part. That's where I like to chime in.
And,
well, yeah. well, on this one, same thing. There is a UK disc. I can't remember who put it out. 88 films. Yeah.
Under Prozzy.
Yes. So,
yeah.
But this one, definitely, I think the transfer is the winner, so I'm just getting that out of the way. But now, is it worth, I don't know, Dan, what did you think? We'll jump right into the film.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Julie Lumel really did have an interesting career. The latter part of it, did a lot of pretty questionable and very cheap serial killer movies. But the guy turned the stuff out.
You didn't like DC Sniper or Curse of the Zodiac?
I'm pretty sure I saw Curse of the Zodiac.
Or Black Dahlia or Green River Killer or BTK.
He turned them out.
Or Zodiac Killer.
Did we ever get Zodiac in the hood? That's what he should have done. Just, go off the rails.
Well, maybe he's got one more in him.
Well, I'm in. on it, considering he's dead, I'm gonna say no.
I'm gonna say from the grave. It doesn't have to be. It could be the ghost of.
Yeah, you never know.
Trust me, but he's still making bad movies somewhere. But is this one of them? That's the question.
No, I do like this one. He turned his stuff out fast, but I think, you know, I mean, Boogeyman, of course, back in the day, Devonsville Terror, this one. He did do good work. He really did. I know probably people that discovered him for, again, a lot of really bad true crime stuff in the last decade or so of his career. Shouldn't let that keep you from checking this out. It is a sort of hard to classify it. It is kind of, I guess, yeah, erotic thriller, very kind of surreal erotic thriller in a way. There's a lot of so there's some Todd action in this movie for sure. Say,
we open up with Dan. I now you know never uncuff Dan.
That's messed up. yeah, there is some BDSM elements to this film. And I should actually say the lead actress, Suzanne Love, was married to Yulia Lomel. So that was kind of probably interesting directing her in some of this stuff. It mirrors, I mean, hell, there's even like some a maniac moment with one of the Johns being into creepy mannequins, which I thought was kind of cool. It's this one brings some of the sleaze and nudity. There's, like I said, there's a lot of todding going on. It's not like a great film. It is one of those ones. It's hard to know exactly who to recommend it to, but the acting's really good. The lead is very easy on the eyes. It held my interest. It did hold my interest. I kind of enjoyed it for what it was. And maybe some people might want a little more in the way of gore, perhaps. But I'd say this one leans a little more, I don't know, mystery, erotic thriller. What did you think?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's kind of, what genre is it really? But it's one I enjoy. I had a lot of fun with this one. This is definitely my kind of film. I want to say for Uli Lamel, this is probably one of my favorites he's done. I'm not a big Boogeyman fan. I think that's a mess also. Not to, and we won't even talk about those sequels. but this one, it had the sleaze factor. It had the what's going on factor. That opening, that basically that opening scene had me hooked.
Yeah. I thought it was funny when one character kind of comes back into it and it's just like, you know, everything's just normal. It's like, oh, okay. I don't know. Are we going to address the elephant in the room kind of moment? Nice. But it has a little bit of gore too. It's a very well-made movie. Like you said, it's just, yeah. Like who do you recommend it to exactly? But if you I'd like
recommend kind of, it to you,
yeah, good psychosexual thriller. I had a really good time with it. I did. And this looks way better. I did have the Prozzy disc. And
no, Prozzy was right. It's like
Vinegar Syndrome. Yeah, they slay it as per usual on this one.
If you're wondering, Prozzy is like British slang for prostitute. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I should know that. I'm into all the British stuff more than you. But
I know, like, Doctor Who ever said, let's go get a Prozzy. So.
Yeah, you know, Doctor Who and might that's be not
even true. You don't even know like what stuff I watch. Just because I don't watch Doctor Who doesn't mean I'm into British shit.
Well, Well, I don't know. I don't hear you talk. Well, British horror, I guess, but I don't really hear you talk about.
I love Spaced. I love The Office. There's other stuff, but like they're not spacey bullshit.
Would you watch Doctor Who if he took the TARDIS and picked up some Prozzy?
I have. What is it? The Return of the Daleks? What are they called?
Daleks, Todd.
Oh, calm down, Jesus. That Daleks one that was from the director of Phantom Killer. What's it called?
Oh, the Abducted by the Daleks.
Yes.
Yeah.
We should talk about Phantom Killers in this. We haven't done a show on this.
Yeah. I need an explanation for why the Daleks have human dongs, though, because that doesn't make any sense.
Well, this isn't about Daleks right now. See,
that
he brings up his nerd shit, and then we go on a whole side story. You go start Flesh Wound Sci-Fi and leave me out of it.
All right, back to this one. Yeah, I did. I really liked the lead, and it held my interest. And I think it's well worth checking out. It's a very nasty little flick. We kind of have a lot of sadomasochism in a lot of the stuff we're doing lately, I've noticed. So, Todd, what do you rate it?
This one was hard. My rating, my gut says 4, but it feels like a 3.5 to me. But I'm gonna go with my gut, and I liked it a lot. I'm gonna give it a 4.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too. I am a 3.5, but that's certainly a high recommendation. I still dug it. Not quite at the level of Deadline. But so far, anyways.
See, I'm not.
So on the extras front, we have Becoming Olivia, an interview with actress Susan Love, which is very well worth listening to. All the Vinegar Syndrome extras are. But this one talks a little bit about her relationship with Yuli Lomel, who passed away a while back. Pretty interesting stuff in this one. I won't run it all down because there's a lot, but talks a little bit about the crossover crew from Boogeyman, and it's well worth a listen. And this one runs 15 minutes. There is also Taking On Many Roles, an interview with the writer and assistant director John P. Marsh, which runs 17 minutes. This guy did a whole lot on this movie and runs that down, even references some of Yuli's questionable serial killer movies that he did later on in life. That's well worth a listen. We also have Chance Meeting, an interview with cinematographer John Cranhouse, which runs 18 minutes. And what else did I get? We have a super 8mm behind the scenes footage from narrated by writer and AD John P. Marsh, making sure I've run these all down. Learning from Yuli, an interview with editor Terrell Tannen. This one's stacked on the extras front too, so I think it's one that gives you a good picture of a guy who, say what you will about some of his films, churned them out. Certainly it takes talent to do that many movies, and I highly recommend the whole package on this one.
Yes. Well, I kind of disagree with the quantity over quality thing you were just kind of implying, because we know a certain director we don't get who has a huge amount of quantity. So,
you're referencing a shitty one.
That's what I'm saying. So quantity doesn't mean quality. So.
But if it's a professional product, I will put it that way. Some of those serial killer movies, I mean, they were not good, but, you know, they were put together competently. That's about the
borderline one. Competently. I'll
guess. But I haven't seen it in a long time. I did like Devonsville Terror. So I think he's
I think that was probably another one of his really good ones.
Yeah,
but I mean, Donald Pleasant and anything's going to make it better.
True. But also, you know, Olivia as well. I consider that a really good.
Yes, movie, I agree.
All right. So our main event for the evening from director Andrea Bianchi. Oh, I love Andrea Bianchi from 1979. Malabimba, also known as Malabimba the Malicious Whore. Malabimba. All right. Bimba lives in a gothic castle with her family. However, after her family conducts a seance to communicate with her dead mother, Bimba begins acting in increasingly strange and perverted ways. With her father at a loss for what to do, he invites a beautiful nun who resides in the castle to try and help her, to help get her under control. However, the sister soon suspects that Bimba has become possessed by an insatiable, sex-starved demon, which will stop at nothing, including murder, to fulfill its depraved and unholy desires. From the warped and deranged mind of one of Italy's foremost purveyors of top-quality sleaze, Andrea Bianchi, comes one of the most shocking and blasphemous pieces of sexploitation cinema ever made. Malabimba, co-starring Giancarlo Del Duca, Patricia Webley, and Mariangela Giordano, Vinegar Syndrome is proud to give this notorious hardcore exorcist rip its worldwide Blu-ray debut. Newly restored in 2K from its original 16mm camera negative and presented here in its fully uncut and uncensored 100-minute version. All right. So, yes, this is definitely the definitive release of Malabimba, which was actually released, I believe, on DVD back in the day by Severin, and they had it in a cut and the triple X version. So again, Andrea Bianchi, man, I love his movies. His movies were always, he always had that. He went just a little further than normal on the sleaze factor. I mean, Burial Ground, of course, probably the one most of you have seen. And Peter Bark, of course, who anybody that's seen that movies has been haunted by that very unique and believe it or not, fully grown man. And Cry of a Prostitute, I know Todd's big on that one. Strip Nude for Your Killer. Bianchi was the man. And Malabimba, for me, is no different. I think you listen to that synopsis, and if you listen to Fleshwood Radio, you know, obviously, you know when we have a winner.
Well, I can go 50-50 on this one, Dan, because what does it feature, and what genre of horror do I always have issues with?
Oh, that it is religious horror. You are correct.
So I'm going to let you go first, so I'm going to leave you hanging.
I would think nunsploitation, though, would be kind of...
But it's not nunsploitation. She's not a nun. She's a nun in training, and she isn't... She's just there as a housekeeper. So it's not really nunsploitation. You're stretching with that one, Dan.
I said elements. It's not like... Yeah, you're right. It's not a full-on nunsploitation, but
Yeah, I don't call Sister Act nunsploitation, and that's got tons of nuns.
Well, if they got it on, it would be. If there was a demon in the mix, it would be. I feel like I just killed Todd's night. Whoopi Goldberg did it. Oh,
wow, that is very unfair. She's very. Yeah, I don't know. I can't even kayfabe that one. I know what Dan's thinking about tonight, though.
Oh, maybe I'll take what I can get right now. Quarantine, Sister Act, maybe. Yeah. Guinan, Star Trek, Next Generation. Oh, yeah. But anyways, I'll stop.
I'm just going to start cutting out all of Dan's sci-fi references.
I'll stop.
That's too much work.
This is definitely a horror exploitation sleaze fest. The Triple X stuff, obviously, it's one of those films where you can tell, it wasn't meant to be Triple X.
Yeah, it's definitely added in.
Yeah, definitely added in. But nothing too distracting. It wasn't to the level where, there have been some Jess Franco, just for reference, where, strangely enough, a lot of times I didn't prefer those versions because it felt like very random, Triple X footage that just didn't belong there. It didn't feel like it was the same movie in terms of the quality of the the print and what have yous. But here it blends perfectly fine. And I should point out, this is not, there's a reason why this isn't an After Dark segment, because this is a horror film. It does have those inserts, but this is not like wall-to-wall XXX content. It's a sleazy film, but you know, I did want to make that distinction for those of you who don't care for the more extreme stuff.
It's minimal.
Yeah, it is. And you will, of course, recognize the beautiful Mary Angela Giordano from many great films. She was, of course, in Burial Ground and Satan's Baby Doll, a lot of excellent work as the nun here. And frankly, Katel Lennick, who played Bimba, I thought did a really good job as well. She had some very some scenes that were some were kind of funny. I thought it was funny when we saw the seance scene, and then you see the fly just open up. It's we had like kind of a reverse entity kind of moment there that I thought was quite entertaining. Probably one of the more entertaining seance scenes in the history of film. And we get some clever uses of a teddy bear that scored points with me. Some mutilation of a teddy bear. There's a lot of taboos broken in this one, but again, never to the level that it ceases to be a horror film. What did you think, Todd?
Well, again, it's falls in that religious horror, but this falls in the religious horror that I actually like. It's more possession over like the religion and that segment of it. Yeah, I've always actually liked this one, and it made me hopeful we'll get a Blu-ray of its remake or its, you know, Satan's Baby Doll. Yeah, and it's been, I haven't watched this probably in years since the Severn disc, and it holds up. It's fun. It's sleazy. It's not so much gory. That's more in the remake where the horror elements are like really amped up. This one's a little more tame in that regards, in the gore and stuff. So, but
yeah, it still has the atmosphere though. Again, definitely prepare for a lot of flesh. Patricia Webley. Oh my God, is she a beautiful woman? As the naughty aunt. I would say, yeah, if you really want a very sexy horror film, you know, this, you could certainly do worse. And I thought the acting was actually really great. I thought everybody played their parts quite well. I'm a big, big fan of this one. So, sleazy horror fanatics, if you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend
Malibu. I don't know what you're at. I'm 4.5 on this one.
I am as well. Yeah, I think this is grade A exploitation. This is a 4.5 all the way. Obviously, you know, if you feel like, man, I wish Exorcist had more boobies. Boom. There you go. So there you go. And well, you have the triple Exorcist too, but you know, that is a lot more. All right. So on the extras front, we have Malabimba Uncovered, an interview with Mary Angela Giordano and cinematographer Franco Vila. That's run 17 minutes. Really good piece. It kind of talks about the transitional phase of Italian cinema at that particular time. And of course, this is, you know, 79. So just over a few years, really, you're getting so many classics being pumped out. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They talk which is also quite fascinating because you will probably notice some things if you're a Euro horror fan and are watching this film. They talk about the castle location, Balserano's Castle, I believe it's called. And they talk a little bit about some of the filming and the many, many, many different films that shot at this location. And they talk a little bit about the XXX inserts and what have you. There is also an audio commentary with film historians and authors Sam Deegan, Heather Drain, and Kat Ellinger, all three on this one. And I'm a huge fan of all their commentaries. There's so much info packed into this that it makes this a perfect release. Anytime those ladies are on a commentary, they really know their shit, and they run down. Like I said, it's crazy what was just how many horror movies were made like in the same location. So I give the highest of high recommendations on the packaging just for that alone. And yeah, Malabimba. This was a good mix of films. I was very happy with pretty much everything. And so be sure to support us for exclusive and uncensored content at patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. And we've got a lot of new stuff going up there, a lot of stuff there already. And it only starts at $1, so you really help us. I want to thank you for listening to us on YouTube. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share, because we're still new to YouTube, so it helps build our visibility for you to get on there and be so kind to do that for us. And we're really good to our fans, so get on the Patreon. And on Facebook, join the Horror Cartel Flesh Wound Radio group. And be sure to like the Flesh Wound Features Facebook page. Stalk us on Twitter, Instagram. Be sure to listen to us on Blog Talk Radio and everywhere else. Spreaker, we are everywhere.
So, also, since Dan didn't put it over, we God also well,
I
you,
can never you, make you happy.
Well, no, well, because you haven't put over yesterday's show that you should check out. Our second of the summer show. It's turning into the summer month, but also it's turning into a Vinegar Syndrome week because we have this one today. Tomorrow we will have the Rad Review, and then we will also be having the Vinegar Syndrome Archive show, which will cover the three newest archive releases. And then next week we'll come back and finish off the June package, July package. I don't even know at this point. There's so much Vinegar Syndrome we're doing. We'll be caught up to all the releases, but we're gonna
there's a lot to listen to right now. So yeah, we've got a lot of content out there. So be sure to check it out.
So on that note, I guess we're all done, right, Dan?
We are all done, Todd. And we will see you guys right back here. Listen and have some fun with us.